Sunday night we started the Parshas Korah, and the thought that we brought about was the great mistake of Korah, in the sense that a person could be a tzaddik but at the same time go the wrong way and misinterpret. It's interesting that the whole machlokes over here, the whole dispute between Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aaron, this took place after the Jewish people witnessed already the Meraglim, the Egel, Meraglim, and so forth, that Shiloh Korach, Miriam, what happened, and so forth. And it seems that when it comes to a machloikis, when it comes to a dispute, when a person is involved, a ger b'dover, as we say, he doesn't learn from the past. He doesn't take to understand that look what happened to people that go the wrong way, so to speak, in a sense. Raglam also spoke Lashon Hara, Miriam and so forth, people punished. You have to be careful that you see that you're going against what you're told, halacha. But I guess that's the machlokes. Two times it says in Pirkei Avos, in this week's perek, in the fourth perek, Mishnah says, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, in the Dalet, Kol Kneisia. Kneisia means a gathering. It has a perpetuity, has a future. Has no perpetuity. What is the Sem Shemayim? What is the Sem Shemayim? Mishnah doesn't say. Rabbeinu Yonah says over there that what does it mean, a gathering L'shem Shemayim? He says that a gathering L'shem Shemayim, L'shem Hashem, means a gathering for the perpetuation of Torah, of Chesed, of kindness, which means all positive activities that a person is obligated, responsible, and also required to perform. So if it's a kadeshia, it's a gathering for a positive purpose, then it's the worship sees a seal of chayim. Ultimately, it'll come to fruition, even though it might not look so in the beginning, but ultimately it's going to come to fruition. Now, we've seen that in various cases, even here in America. Even the question of Lakewood itself, actually, when the Rashida started, many that were against and so forth. But it was a gathering of Shem Shemayim, and he explained to them and so forth. But ultimately, we see what came out from that. Unbelievable amount of Kollelim all over the United States, all of America, thousands and thousands of people studying, learning Torah and so forth. I grew from that little kernel of a few boys that he took, a few fellows that they took that time from Torah Vedas and a few other places, and put together started Lakewood. Because of Shem Shemayim. But Rabbeinu Yonah says that a Kadeshia Shalom Shem Shemayim, a gathering that's not Shem Shemayim, what's that? He says, interesting, he says, that's a type of a gathering where people get together where their group should prevail over a different group. Which means we should be the balabata, we should be the bosses. How can we work out a plan or in a way that we should be able to take over and so forth? Which means that it's not a question of, in the sense where fraternization and so forth, where people want to be together and work together for a goal, but the goal is not to be together. The goal is that I should be the big shot and so forth. He says that's called a Kneisia L'shem Shemayim. It's a gathering that's not the purpose of a parts of constructive activity where everybody's involved, everybody's equal, and one works for another, works with another. But here the person wants to go above the other one, take over from somebody else. He said, that's Shloim Hashem Shemayim. That's not the type of gathering, not considered a kosher gathering. And then, interesting, in the fifth parak, which will be next week, the fifth parak in Avos, in the 20th Mishnah, over there it doesn't say any name of any Tana. Here's the other Misandla. It just says, Kol Machloikes Shir Shem Shemayim. The other Mishnah said, can they see you? Even a gathering. A gathering. Not that it's a Machloikes, a gathering. But if it hasn't got good intentions, so forth, it doesn't end up properly. Here it says, Kol Machloikes Shir Shem Shemayim. If the dispute is the Shem Shemayim, Sefli Eskayim, it'll have perpetuity. You'll be eternalized. Shalei L'Shem Shemayim is Sefer B'Tayla, or not. And the Mishnah continues over here, more than the other Mishnah, that says, what is a Machlokes Shem Shemayim? An example of Hillel V'Shamay. Why? And you see, it goes line, I say hand in hand with the other Mishnah. Hillel and Shammai both were arguing, but they were arguing for a cause, for halacha, how to do a mitzvah. Do it this way or do it this way. Or is this the mitzvah? Is this the mitzvah? And each one meant that he was Shem Shammai wanted to do this mitzvah. And Shammai was more stringent, not so stringent, etc. But they, and the point is that the Yomo brings out the Yavomus, that there was no personal attitudes involved over here. No personal confrontations over here, which means, as according to certain halachas, it came out that Hillel, from families of Hillel, couldn't marry from families of Beis Shammai, the Lechuy of Misa, because according to them, the woman was permitted to be a certain woman, Yivoma, she was not, and so forth. And according to Beis Hillel, you couldn't take it, according to Beis Hillel, you could take it, such to Beis Shammai. Well, what happened, Gemara says? Hillel will tell Shammai, he you could marry, he you can't make a shidduch. Shammai will tell him, he you could, he you can't. And all different areas where they disputed, the Gemara says, they still were together. There was an achdos, a love, an affection, a brotherhood, fraternization. But, and they told each other, you can't eat from this thing over here because according to you, it's not kosher. According to me, my halacha, it is kosher. There was a different business. They held this way, held it this way. He had his, they had their Kabbalah, their tradition, they had their tradition, and so forth. Like a Sephardi Jew and Ashkenazi Jew, and so forth. Eat kidney is a Pesach, or don't eat kidney is a Pesach. But it doesn't mean that there was a hatred or for Chas V'Shalom between them or a split. Like Korach, Vayika Korach says, he split. When you split, that shows that there's that person is not neutral and so forth. He's involved and he won't go out for himself. That's the Kadeshia Shalom Hashem Shemayim. So Machlekes Shalom Hashem Shemayim. And the Mishnah continues and says, what is the Machlekes Shalom Hashem Shemayim? Korech Vadoso. Taki Korech Vadoso. That's Taki Shalom Hashem Shemayim. And it's interesting to note, I say, by Machlokes Hashem Shemayim, the Mishnah said the Machlokes between Hillel and Shammai, the two disputants. But they both worked Hashem Shemayim, but there was an Ava, after Vareus, they helped each other, worked with each other, and they knew that according to Allah, what's the law? They wanted each one wanted Hashem Shemayim, the law. But the other Machlokes should really be Hashem Shemayim between Korach and Moshe, or Korach and Aaron. Korach and the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Was it Korach Vadosoi? Korach and his group? That's one side. The answer is not like that. The answer is that when there's a Machloekes Shloi L'Shem Shemayim, there's no such thing as two sides. the very same side that's causing the what you call the dispute, the divisiveness, the anger, the animosity, so forth. There could be different reasons for that. Korach wanted the kahuna. He wanted the b'chaira. He wanted the avoda. Each one was involved, and there they got together. What brought them together? Brought them together. The machlokes brought them together. The dispute. But each one had different things in mind. So that means that the machlokes is in the machlokes v'adosai himself. Korach and his Ada, there was the machlokes v'adosai shemayim, because there was no what you call in a sense of a. Of achdus or unity of a cause, and even in their thing, there was no unity of cause. Each one had a different reason for why it was involved. And also, Ravim were involved for a simple reason of machlokes. And the Mefarshim said, "What do they have to do over there?" But when there's a nice juicy machlokes, there are certain people that love to be involved. No screaming, no tumult. Even though, what's it got to do with you? Why? There's nothing to gain from that. In fact, Eidman Peles' wife claimed that to her husband. She says, "What are you going to gain?" She says, "You're going to be in a machlokes here. What are you getting out of it? You get nothing out of it. Something to be in a machlokes. You to be a nachshlepper. So what do you have?" And she thought you saved him. But the point, that's the machlokes mind is not. The other side, Moshe Rabbeinu was unified. Israel said, "What are you fighting with us? The machlokes is not with us. It's with the Baruch Shalom." He said, "You're going against the Torah. We're not fighting with anybody. We're not divisive. We are it and so forth. We're going what the Baruch Shalom told us to do. We're doing. That's it." So the machlokes was basically on the other side, and then the whole thing was no unity in that sense. That we see over here, the difference over here, the machlokes that we find between. The concept of Hashem Shemayim and Shalom Hashem Shemayim. And as Rabbi Yoida points out, I think it's a very, very basic concept in always in every dispute that you have to look for and notice it. To see, is there really a unity, an affection, what you call a working together and so forth, that the people really mean for the seeking the truth? They want the truth. They want what is the mitzvah, what's involved over here? Or is there each one there's what you call personal desires over there, personal what you call the what the individual wants for himself in that sense, and divisive attitudes. It's just that the machlokes brings them together. They're all fighting, but for different causes and so forth, different ideas. That's why the idea the Ben Yonah says over there that which one wants to be bigger and better than the other one. Different than the other one, Papa the other one, and so forth. That's the concept of the Machlokes Shemayim. We find so twice in Pirkei Avos, the fourth parak and the fifth parak, we see that concept of an approach where a person is seeking what you call, in a sense, what you call a togetherness, a unity, and seeking the truth without. Being personally involving himself, he's neutral. He looks for the truth, whatever it is. He's a maidalemes. I'm willing to admit, you prove it to me. I'm wrong. Fine, but if I have a pasuk and you have a pasuk, then it's about machlokes. Let's see which one you choose, which one chooses, and so forth. But the other time, when the person is involved, personally involved, where there's what you call, it's not only the sense of the item involved, but the person himself, then there's no cohesiveness over here. There's always a machlokes, shalom shemayim, it's kind. There can't be any perpetuity for that because there's no truth involved. There's no seeking the truth over here. Each one is out for himself, in that particular sense. That was a ma'aseh of Korach. Korach used them, and they used Korach, and so forth. All of them are the same way. Of course, it's interesting. You see that Moshe Rabbeinu made the test of who the person will choose. He gave it the 250 from the from Shevet Reuven over there that they should bring in the Torahs. Even why did he put Korach should bring Torahs? Because Korach is another machlekes, and there's all different machlekes over there. And I want to bring out a point. If you go through the Chumash carefully, you'll see that Moshe Rabbeinu was not commanded by the Rebbeinu Shlom to give them that test, to make that test to see who should be chosen. That came from himself. In fact, it's a Ramban. What I'm saying is really found in Ramban. That here Moshe Rabbeinu went on his own. In fact, it's interesting to note that the very next day after the earth swallowed up Korach, Hadassah, and all the 250, all the people, etc., that died, it says, Vayelenu, they start a new machlokes. Atem hamitem esam Hashem. You killed God's nation. You killed all these tzaddikim, Tzorach and all them. It's unbelievable. They saw such miracles, as Moshe said, the earth opened up and swallowed them up and so forth. And they died with the Aish over there by the Ktayrus and said, how can they say such a thing? How can they say that the Targum, in fact, seems to pick up the thought, and he doesn't say, Atem hamitem, which would imply you killed them. And he says, Atem garamtem, you caused their death. So what was the title? What kind of title did they have to Moshe Rabbeinu over here? The answer is basically, as I was saying, that Moshe used that approach on his own of the Ketores. Why? Because he saw by the Ketores that Nadav Avihu brought an Eish Zorah. They brought something that was not supposed to be brought. They were punished immediately on the spot. So he knew that if anybody brings something that's not proper and so forth, he's finished. In fact, again, I found the Ramban like that says that. And so therefore, he used that particular reasoning. So the claim of the people was to Moshe Rabbeinu, since you knew that and you know the Vavil, why did you have to resort to that particular method? You could have resorted to the method of other nisim and the floors that you made before, with your matah, with the rod, with the other stuff that he made, the moifes and oifes, to show that you're right. In fact, right after that, the Rebbeinu made a particular teich, would put him his walking stick, his matzah, his cane, and one that will blossom forth, and that will be the proof that I chose Aaron. After all this, what happened over here? Moshe had to do that again? The answer is because the people were not convinced by Moshe. They felt that the Moshe used a ketores in a sense, something that he knew would kill people if they were wrong in that sense. Why did he have to cause that death? He should have used a certain method where it wouldn't have caused death for the people. It would have caused just a miracle to see that he's right. This was their taina to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did you have to resort to that particular method? Which again, I find alluded into by a Ramban, the Rabbeinu Yonah, I mean, and the Rabbeinu B'chaya and so forth, which I found. But I brought down my own thoughts in a sense over here that we see that the people were not convinced that there's a complete Lashem Shemayim on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu in that sense, in that particular point. Even Moshe Rabbeinu felt because they were deserved to be punished. That was the whole, I don't want to go into that whole thing over there. When he said to the boys, don't be makabel their korbanos, but you may never said that before to anybody and anybody. Don't accept their korban, don't accept their sacrifices and so forth. So we see over here there was a certain way you saw that this was a case where you have to go, there's no return, no point of no return. There's no point of return, it's all out. They're guilty, gotta be punished, and that's it. But the idea of the proof, the boys wanted to show them, that there's a proof of the other way also. In fact, I say Moshe Rabbeinu also showed them. It's not the terrorists that killed them. Don't blame me, I caused it. It's because they deserved it. Why? Because right after that, if you remember, when they started to complain, the Moshe made a magefa. And Moshe said to Aaron right away, "You got to stop the magefa. People are dying. Grab the keteres. The keteres will stop the magefa." Ah. So you see that keteres could stop a magefa, could stop death, could do away with destruction and so forth. So it's not that's the destruction. Shadow over here is that, like the Bible says in various places over there, it's the hate that the person does. It's not the pshat that question of the Misa or not and so forth. The hate maintenance and so forth in that sense. So the pshat is because they, so you can't blame Moshe was actually using that also as an answer to their question and the using of Keteris. He said the Keteris is that only if you're deserving death will the Keteris do that. Keteris could save you too. And it saved the Magefa that Sora, and the Magefa stopped right away. So we see that it's not the guitarist that kills, it's if the person deserves it or not. It could be that medium of where, but that's not the thing that kills you. So you can't blame him for using that in order to kill in that particular sense. See that point from Moshe Rabbeinu over here. that particular. If you were a Divrei Chaim, said by the end of Machlokes, Chaim Sanza was very, very careful in the sense of Machlokes, would run immediately when there was a question of any type of dispute, you wouldn't want to hear anything, wouldn't want to know from it, so forth. And he said over here, we see the same thing by Moshe Rabbeinu, he said. When Moshe Rabbeinu said over here by them, he said, Im kimois kol anoshim yamusu eile. He said to them, when the Jews were put together, were all together, and they were on the other side before the earth split, and he warned them, and he said, "You should know if they'll die a normal death, and lo Hashem shlachoni, and the voice of him didn't send me, and they were right. But in Hatzor says Pia, Bria Yivra Hashem." There'll be what you call a supernatural type of death, a thing that didn't happen till this time, that was waiting from Bereshis Pioritz, but never occurred in that time till then. Then you should know that that's what we live over here. And that's what happened. So that was the test that he gave. So the Divrei Chaim asked the question. He says, look, he says, if that's the case, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say such a thing? In the Kimois Kaladoshim or Yamuswaila, if they'll die a normal death, then Moshe didn't send me. If the Moshe didn't send you, why should they die a normal death? Why should they be punished altogether? So the Chaim says, Dos is Machloikis. When a person is involved in Machloikis, especially, he says, if a person is Macharcheriz, he initiates divisiveness, he initiates dispute. Visitors among people, argumentation and so forth, denouncing and so forth, machloikas, and involved in even especially shnei shem shemayim in that sense. He says, if he's actually like a koirach, and you're going against Torah and against the mitzvahs of Master Tavim, is a misha mishuna, is a supernatural death, destruction mamish. And even if he's right, the Chaim says this, even if he has a claim in the Taita, but because he initiated Lumachwekis through disputatious activity, through divisive activity among the Jews, is the Misa, not a Misa Meshuna, but a Misa will die anyway, he'll be punished anyway. Because involved in Lumachwekis brings punishment, he says. Despite the fact that you may be even right, you have to stay away from machlokes. If you see you can't stop the machlokes, if you can't what you call bring peace and harmony, if you can't correct it and so forth, then you stay away. Don't get involved. Even though you're fighting for the right side, better don't get involved. There's no guarantee you won't have a regular punishment. Because that itself, that you're involved in disputatious activity that causes friction between man and man, there's no forgiveness, complete forgiveness on that, even when you're right. That's what Divrei Chaim says. He said he lays that in the Psukim over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu said. And so it's interesting, you see, that people, and then when they saw, and interesting, when they saw the sticks and so forth, when they saw the cane and so forth, they accepted it. They saw, they took the thing, they went. Accepted it, and that was it. But we see that many times, it's even a lesson that we have to learn from that, that it's not even necessary to get involved in arguing and so forth, but to try to bring up a certain activity that will show the proof. Who's right, you or the other one, and that's it. And if people are honest and sincere, and they mean the Shem Shemayim, they'll accept it. If they're not honest and sincere, that means they want to make the machlokes, and the Rebbe Yehuda says that they want control. I want control over the other person. So there's a personal thing involved here. Get away, run away, and that's it. That's the yisoid of machlokes that we see in Parshas Kohelet. Any questions?
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
Is that perfect?
9:30.
It's very good. Perfect.